Okay, this morning's reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 9 through to the end. If you're in the church Bible, it's page 724. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counsellor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground. Then he blows on them and they wither, and the whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Once again, a very good morning to you all. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, say to the community of Easton, say to the city of Bristol, here is your God. How do you measure greatness? I mean, what takes your breath away? What makes you say, that is amazing, that is awesome? What leaves you speechless even for its sheer magnitude? I had the privilege of visiting the Norwegian fields with my wife, where I saw snow-capped mountains, clear blue waters, glaciers, waterfalls. And seeing that, my response is, that is amazing. And that was just 3 years ago. Or I hold in my arms a newborn baby, a boy. And I look into his eyes and I can see a recreation of myself, a recreation of my wife. I open my mouth, except no words can come because I really am speechless. I'm ringing family at 1:20 in the morning to tell them. And I, with this baby in my arms, I say, that is amazing. And that was 18 years ago. Into my hands I take hers. I put a ring on her finger. She puts a ring on mine. I see her face. I see her smile. I see her beauty. I see the love of my life, everyone. And I say, that is amazing. That was 30 years ago. In fact, this month we celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. And you see, to me, all of these things, and so much more, are great and incredible. And these are occasions that I find myself saying, not just this is amazing, but my heart responds, and it wants to respond with this, God is great. As I acknowledge God as the creator, as I acknowledge God as the life giver, and as I acknowledge God as love. And the prophet Isaiah, whose words were read to us just a few moments ago, says this, here is your God. But who do we see? Who do we see? Verse 10, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power. Verse 28, the Lord is the everlasting God. Verse 29, the creator of the ends of the earth. And we might readily say, God is great. But I wonder, have we really got it yet? Have we really fully understood just how great he is, just how big he is, just how powerful he is? And I wanted these few thoughts to encourage us to consider just how great God is. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. I believe that creation has a voice and it speaks to us. We look on everything that has been made, and we can understand and we can clearly see God. Creation actually cries out to us, God is great. God is powerful. God is amazing. God is big. And I think creation speaks to us in so many different ways. On one hand, it shouts to us through a loud clap of thunder, the Lord is great. And then it shows to us by its sheer grandeur of mountain ranges, the Lord is great. It whispers to us through a gentle summer breeze, the Lord is great. It reveals to us through autumn colours of gold and orange and red and yellow, the Lord is great. And we're meant to look upon the creation that is around us. We're meant to look at nature that is there. And we're meant to respond to this voice that we hear. The voice of creation saying, the Lord is great. And I think Isaiah, in the language that he uses, is trying to convey to us just how great God really is. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? That's one question Isaiah asks. Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? Or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. How great is our God? Gather together all the waters upon the earth, the seas, the oceans, the lakes, the rivers, the rains, the clouds, and they can all be contained within the hollow of God's hand. I mean, for me, Paul Weitz, he's an American astronaut. He said this: when you're traveling at 4 miles a second, and it still takes you 25 minutes to cross the Pacific Ocean, you know it's big. And God contains that in the hollow of his hand. How great is our God? Okay, let's look at it differently. Get yourself a broom and sweep up the dust in your house. Sweep up the dirt in your streets, the earth in our fields, the sand on our beaches and deserts. Sweep up into a pile every particle of earth and dust from across the whole world. And Isaiah describes it like this: God can reach down and pick it all up between his finger and his thumb. That's how great God is. How great is our God? Well, let's think of it differently. Get out the kitchen scales. But this time, you're not measuring flour, you're not measuring sugar. You're going to weigh the mountains, the hills, the high places. You're going to uproot the mountains, pop them on the scales, except that's ridiculous. I can't do that. But God can. And the language that Isaiah uses, God picks up the mountains and the hills and he weighs them as if he's got scales to do so. That's how great God is. How great is our God? Go down to the beach. Scoop up in your hand a pile of sand and consider that each grain is an island. The Isle of Wight, the Isles of Scilly, the Falkland Islands, the Bahamas, the Canaries. It's hard to imagine one grain of sand to God is Great Britain. That's how great our God is. And this is the voice of creation shouting out to us, God is great. Well, let's go on another journey. That's what creation says. But here's another thought. The psalmist in Psalm 19 verse 1 says this: the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. So, when we lift our eyes up on a dark night and we look at the skies, we know we only see a small part of the universe that lies beyond our planet. The planet Earth is very small, tiny, minuscule, in fact, compared to what is out there. The universe is huge. But compared with Earth, we're told that the sun is massive. You could fit 1 million Earths into the sun. That's how big the sun is. The trouble is, the experts tell us our sun is small. I mean, this blows my mind already, and I've only got to the sun. But apparently, they identify stars that are over 2,000 times the size of our sun. In fact, one such star is named Vy Canis Majoris. And it is so big that if its centre were in our solar system, exactly where the sun is, then its outer edge would extend beyond the orbit of Jupiter. That's how big they reckon. How they know, don't ask me. Now, our sun is one star in the galaxy, known as the Milky Way. Now, there could be 500 billion stars in the Milky Way. That is 500,000 million stars. And some astronomers have calculated that there could be 100,000 million galaxies in the universe. Now, I've worked this out, all right? Although I'm not an astronomer, certainly not an expert, but I've worked it out. If you could travel at the speed of light, that is roughly 186,000 miles a second, it would take you around 4,700 million years to cross the universe. Plus or minus a year or two. Whatever calculations you use, the universe is enormous. It is absolutely massive. How big is this universe compared with God? And this is what the prophet Isaiah says to us. He has measured the heavens with the breadth of his hand. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy. He spreads it out like a tent to live in. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? The question is asked. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. My God is big. If there are 500,000 million stars in a galaxy, and there are 100,000 million galaxies in the universe, here comes the number. There could be 50,000 million, million, million stars. And Isaiah says, and God calls each one by name. This is how great God is. My God is big. He can measure the universe with the breadth of his hand. Right now you realize, and I realize, that comparisons become ridiculous. I thought at first it was amazing that God could hold the waters of earth in the hollow of his hand. But that's nothing compared with measuring the universe with the breadth of his hand. My God is big. The Genesis account of creation puts it like this. He also made the stars. That's it. With all the detail of the creation that we have in Genesis 1, and we haven't got time to read that. Read it for yourselves if you can. The detail about the creation of planet Earth and the detail that's given about the land and the seas, vegetation and animals and day and night and sun and moon and clouds and atmosphere. With all this detail of God creating where we live, how now is the author going to handle God creating 50,000 million, million, million stars? And here's the detail. He made the stars also. That's it. It's almost as if it's an afterthought. It's almost as if it's a, oh, by the way, don't forget, God made the stars as well. This is the greatness of our God. And I have to ask this question. You might be begging the same question right now as well. So what is the point of all this? What's the point of the universe? Why is it there? Because to be honest, I'm thinking to myself with my little mind that the universe is rather big should be a home for us. Planet Earth seems to be doing quite well on its own as this little tiny planet of being home to you and to me. The universe, well, that is just beyond my understanding. I can't take in these figures. I can't take in these distances. Why is it there even? What's the meaning of the universe? Except that this is it. It has a voice and it's speaking to us. And it has one message to give. It declares the glory of God. It proclaims to us what God can do. Seems to me that astronauts have a unique perspective than we do. US astronaut Edgar Mitchell said this: "My view of our planet was a glimpse of divinity." Imagine that, an astronaut out there seeing the whole Earth in one sight. And he's saying, my view of that is actually a picture of God. James Irwin, another US astronaut, said this: "The Earth reminded us of a Christmas tree ornament hanging in the blackness of space. Seeing this has to change a man, has to make a man appreciate the creation of God and the love of God." Compared to God, the universe is small. Compared to the universe, our galaxy is small. Compared to the galaxy, our sun is small. Compared to our sun, the earth is small. Compared to the earth, we are small. You and me, we are small. Well, that's an inspiring message to give, isn't it? Do you feel encouraged, inspired to be told how small we are? How small we are, how tiny, how minuscule compared to God and his greatness and his glory. Don't you feel small when Isaiah describes this? The God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And its people are like grasshoppers. And I'm saying, well, that's not too encouraging. Even the psalmist said, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him?" And right now, I'm feeling very small. I'm feeling insignificant. And I'm thinking, in God's creation power, in all of his magnificent glory, in all of his greatness, where am I? Because I am insignificant. I'm tiny compared to the bigness of everything that I've described and Isaiah has put before us right now. Except Isaiah says this: he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And then I see God all over again. On one hand, the creator of the universe and everything in it, in its magnitude, in its size, in its size, in its enormity. And then I see God as a shepherd holding me in his arms. I mean, how can this be? One moment I see God measuring 50,000 million stars and the huge distances that stand between each one with the breadth of his hands. I see God holding the waters of the earth in the hollow of his hand. I see God holding the dust of the world in between his finger and his thumb. And the next moment, I feel his arms around me as he gathers me close to his heart, like a shepherd who cares for his lambs. And then my heart is awakened to reality. I find now that the greatest miracle is not that God created the universe. The greatest miracle is that God became man, came into our world in its brokenness, in its lostness, in its hurt, in its sin, in its pain, in its dying. God came to us and lived amongst us. That God, in his awesomeness, in his power, became human. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born as a baby, grew up as a boy, became a man, experienced all the things that I experience in life, tiredness and exhaustion, sadness and grief, pain. He knew what it was to be deserted by his friends. He knew what it was to stand by a graveside and weep. He knew what it was to be betrayed. He knew all of these things that I experience and you experience in your life. And that becomes the greatest miracle of all, that Jesus should die on a cross for me, to rescue me, to forgive me, to save me. The God who made everything loves me, and he loves you. Hands that can measure the universe, hands that can hold the waters, hands that can hold grains of sand, the islands of the world, become hands nailed to a cross out of love for you and me. And when I see the cross, when I lift my eyes up, not now to see the heavens, the stars on a dark night, but now when I lift my eyes to the cross and see Jesus hanging there, crucified for me, even there I get a glimpse of God's greatness and his power and his love for me. Today I wanted us to see something of the greatness of God. And may that cause in us a response of worship. Because I think that's a right response, where we just want to worship God. And some of these songs that we were led to sing earlier on just declared how great God is. And that's a right response of the human heart to the majesty of God. I believe that. But I wanted us all as well to see the love of God, the shepherd who holds his lambs, as God would want to hold us in his arms when we respond in faith to him, when we accept what Jesus has done for us, when we acknowledge our sin and we just commit to following him. He's a shepherd with lambs in his arms, and his arms are around you and me because he is Father and we are his children. And I wanted us as well to see the love of God. Now may that cause us to love him too. I wanted us to accept what creation says to us, what the universe says to us, that God is there and God is great. And I wanted us to accept what Jesus says to us, because Jesus says God is here. God is love. In fact, when posed with loads of questions, on one occasion, Jesus said this. The question really was all about, show us God. Show him to us. Show us what he's like. Show us how great he is. Show us how big he is. Show God to us. That was the challenge. And Jesus said this. If you've seen me, You've seen God. And that's why, as Christians, we love talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of all, the Lord of creation. I wanted to challenge your hearts today as we looked at Isaiah 40, to consider the voice of creation, to consider the voice that the universe has to both say one thing, God is great. But as well, to look at the cross and see God is love. And may that cause a response in your hearts. I know that we're going into a time of breaking the bread, and that seems an appropriate response. If we love the Lord Jesus, then what a response to take of the bread and the cup and remember him. That's a response. But as well, to be challenged in our hearts, the greatness of our God. How great is he? I can't even begin to tell you. The words I share today are so small to even convey the picture. But think on this. His love is as great as his power. So be encouraged. Respond to God in a way that is appropriate. Our God is great.